Matthew chapter 7, and we left off in verse 14. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And this is a Jewish in context, and we're told to beware of false teachers. Let's look in 2 Peter 2:1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And so, in the Old Testament, they were to beware of false prophets. New Testament, we're to beware of false teachers. Beware of false teachers. And the warning here is that these people will look good on the outside. Matthew 7, it says right here, "which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And so that warning here is, hey, these people are going to come in and they're going to look good. They're going to dress good. They're going to act good. And but wolves, they like sheep. They like to prey on sheep. And so we're to beware of that. They're hungry, and they'll devour you if you're not careful. And we've got, there's safeguards in place in the church, especially here. There's a lot of people here that study the Bible, that know what the Bible says, and you can pretty much spot a wolf if they come under you, especially one that they don't have what's in the heart that they need to have in the heart. And verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And there'll be some visible manifestations that you'll be able to see if a man is right in his tribulation. And if we go into the tribulation context here, when a man is right in the tribulation, you'll be able to see that he's right. When he's wrong, you'll be able to see that he's wrong by what he's doing with God's words. And if he has the right standards, he's going to be asking the right questions, and he's going to be asking those questions to the right person, which is God. And he'll be asking God. If he's not giving that which is holy unto the dogs, if he enters into the straight gate, and then he'll have the fruit. He'll have the fruit that you're looking for here. And you have Moses, you're going to have Elijah, you'll have 144,000 Jews, and they'll have that fruit. They'll have that fruit that the Jew will need to be looking for. And what will they produce in their ministry? They'll produce, let's go to Galatians 5. They'll have the fruit. 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Against such there is no law. That's the fruit they'll have. And there's a point in which you have to realize that if there's no fruit, or it's the wrong kind of fruit, then it's not the tree that they claim to be. They're claiming to be a tree that has good fruit, that it should bring forth good fruit. It shouldn't bring forth destruction. It shouldn't bring forth where they're not telling the Jew, "Hey, if your brother comes and you're to help him out." I mean, and they're supposed to be doing this. They're supposed to be practicing what they preach. And they're not going to be preaching that. They're going to be preaching, everybody's all right, you know, we're all okay, everybody's a Christian, just like they do today. Matthew 7:17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, you have today, you have the new man in the Christian, and that will always bring forth good fruit. And then you have also here this body you have to deal with, the old nature, and that'll always bring forth bad fruit. And so the question is who will we allow to come forth? Who are we going to allow to come forth in this life, the old man or the new man, the new creature? And what you're going to have here in the Old Testament, or in the tribulations, you're going to have prophets. And it's saying right here, to beware of those prophets. Beware of false prophets. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. The Bible says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Let's go to Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah 28. Verse 9. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Okay, if the word of the Lord comes to pass with this guy speaking, then you'll know that this guy is the right prophet. If it doesn't come to pass, you'll know he's the wrong prophet. And what this is doing is you're looking at a man's words here. All right. There's not, a guy can have the outward appearance and he can stand the test of time, a long period of time. But when he starts speaking, when somebody starts to talk, then you really can see the fruit. You can see what's in his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That was before we had the complete Bible. When we have prophets, we had prophets in the Old Testament and New Testament, but we didn't have a complete. We didn't have the completed scriptures at that point, and so we have a standard now to go by. In the tribulation, they're going to have a standard. They have the words of God here, and the Jew will have that word of God. And that Jew cannot pay attention to the signs in the tribulation, because the wolves will have the signs. They'll be able to call fire out of heaven. They'll be able to heal, which we're going to see here in a little bit. They're going to do many marvelous and wondrous works. They'll be able to cast out devils. There's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do, these false prophets. But that Jew's going to have to pay attention to the message being spoken. We have the Word of God. We have the completed Scriptures. And so the signs are no longer needed. The signs are no longer needed. Now, can you just imagine if the 144,000 have these signs? Moses and Elijah have these signs. The false prophets have these signs. They're all doing the same thing. But one thing is going to separate the false prophets from the real prophets. And that is the Word of God that we have, that we can get a hold of, that we can see what they're saying is so. That Jew will be able to see, and we can see today. We've got the scriptures. The only way you can prophesy 100% of the time is with the Bible. That's it. That's the foundation. It's the foundation was laid out already by God through the prophets and through the apostles. And we don't need a sent one because we have a message already. We don't need somebody new to come and tell us some new prophecy. God has already given it to us. It's already here. We have the book of the prophecy. It's the Bible, and the Bible replaces the prophet. So, what do we need? We need pastors. We need teachers. We need them to effectively take the words that we have here today and through the Holy Spirit of God, explain it. Explain it to the people that come and want to hear from God, that maybe they don't have all the explanations or all the training that somebody else might have. And that's why God gives to the church pastors and teachers to help us understand, to help us. We've got a copy of the Word of God. We're reading there right along with them. We know if they get out of line, we got it. If they're explaining it right, the Lord will show us right through His words that, hey, this is right. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that these things are so. And so the signs and wonders in the Old Testament were to confirm the Word. And we have it. It doesn't need to be confirmed anymore. Verse 19, Matthew 7:19. I'm nervous today. I don't know why. I know what it is. My wife bought me these coffee candies. And I've eaten like five of them on the way here, so I'm all jittery. I don't know what it is. And then I had a cup of coffee on top of that. She told me, only take two. And I took five. Oh, man. So anyway, yeah. So the heart's pumping here today. Verse 19, the Bible says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. If you're the wrong tree, then you'll end up in the fire. And that's as simple as that. And so the only way you're going to be able to tell if a man has the right fruit and what he is instructing you to do is with a pure Bible and by following what God says in His Word. And by following the man who has the right fruit, because the right fruit is on the right tree, and the tree that brings forth good fruit is not cast into the fire. And that's the only way you got to judge. You got the Word of God. You can't follow a man that's not speaking out of the Word of God. And that's not speaking right out of the Word of God. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Here's what God's saying. He's saying it the second time. This is the second time He says this. By their fruits ye shall know. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so, here you have to judge. You have to judge. Matthew 7:1, in the beginning He's saying, judge not that ye be not judged. It can't be saying that you're never going to judge somebody. Because if you don't judge what people are doing, what people are saying, how are you going to know if they have the right fruit or not? Right? So you have to judge. And it takes a little time sometimes for the seasons to go through before this fruit comes out on a tree. But that doesn't mean that you wait 10 years for somebody to mess up and say, oh, I told you he didn't have the right fruit, you know? I mean, that's something totally different. If you're looking for something bad in somebody's life, you're going to find it. because everybody's got bad things in their life. But if you can see what somebody's saying, right off the bat, you'll know right away what you're dealing with, especially if you study the Bible. When somebody starts speaking or teaching or coming in as a leader, you'll know, hey, this is what I'm dealing with here. And this is, you see it every, you know. I was out street preaching the other night down in Evanston. And I forget what night it was, but we were out there. It was a pretty interesting time. I was there with a couple other gentlemen, and they were holding a sign up and everything, and I was preaching, and they never heard this before, what I was saying, right? And so I was just preaching away, and the one guy goes, hey, if you need a break, the other guy will preach. And so he was trying to preach, like, you know, what I was saying, and he was forgetting the verses and everything, but he's like, hey, I like the way you preach better. Come on back over here. So they were just handing out literature and stuff. It was good literature. They were handing out how to get to heaven and stuff. It said the free gift on it. And so that was a blessing. But when people start talking and they've got certain things on their heart and that's all they want to get bring forth out, you know what you're dealing with. You know what I mean? You're dealing with somebody that maybe just doesn't know. Maybe they were taught the wrong way. But the gospel's not anywhere in their heart to say. You see what I'm saying? So that's all I'm going to say on that. But if you want to know more, I'll talk to you guys in private. But the verses here we're talking about is a leader trying to lead people here. And you must make sure, we've got to make sure that the ones that are leading have the proper message. Or they'll devour up those in the church. They'll devour them up. Those that are helpless, that maybe just got saved, you know, and are needing the right guidance. And that's what the devil wants to do. He takes a fresh Christian and he messes them all up in doctrine. And you know, the younger people in this, you can't even fool the young children in this church. You try to fool them. No, that Bible doesn't say that. I remember I was teaching one time and I said that a frog was a frog was an amphibian, or no, I said it was a reptile. And they said, no, it's not. It's an amphibian. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I better watch what I say. Go back to the drawing board here. But it's important. That's why it's important for, even if you're, you know, you're not in a leadership position, you just keep studying the scriptures and making sure that and verifying that what's being said is right. And not everybody's going to get everything right all the time, but the issues on dealing with the saving of a soul and stuff like that, those issues need to be down pat. Those issues need to be right. Or you'll have people getting baptized for salvation or doing good works or being brought back into the good works scene. And it's very easy for the devil to fool somebody into good works. They'll lose their assurance of salvation. Hey, if you lose your assurance of salvation and say, hey, what if I kill myself? Will I lose my salvation? Guess what you just did? You're going back to a work salvation. And it's just not so. It's just not so. It's before by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what fruit are they supposed to be looking at here? What fruit are we supposed to look at? Hey, does the message magnify Jesus Christ, or does it magnify yourself, or another person, or another way? What does it magnify? The message should magnify Jesus. Hey, he's found in all the scriptures. And so in all the scriptures magnify Jesus. Just do we look for him in every bit of the scriptures? Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 13:7. I don't even know why I got this written down. But we'll go here. Hebrews 13:7. The Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Hey, the message that's coming out of this guy's mouth, have I considered what end, how I'm going to end up if I follow it? And that's the thing. That's the fruit you're looking for. Hey, what's going to happen down the road if I listen to what this guy is saying? You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have to look at. Hey, his message here, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Hey, is he following the same things that he's saying? Are you considering what's going to happen afterwards? Have you considered down the road what has happened? Stuff like that. And so that's how you know whether or not to follow a person. You can see some fruit there. Fruit in the message, fruit in what's, when you start thinking about, hey, if I really do this, is this going to affect my life for God, or is it going to affect my life for myself? Verse 21, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And this is a Jewish passage for the kingdom of heaven. And the idea here is, just because you can speak with your mouth and you can say a bunch of things that are right in people's ears and have the right lip service, it doesn't mean that you get to walk right into the millennium. It doesn't mean that. You don't get to come right into the kingdom. You have to bring forth, that you will have to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Let's look in Luke 6. Luke 6:46. The Bible says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And do not the things which I say. Let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13, 24. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Then, once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. What does that show you? It shows you that the same thing can happen to today for the kingdom of God. You can say, Lord, Lord, with your lips, and speak all these good things and still not be saved. And still not be saved. And so the principle applies to both kingdoms. And that this is the principle, that it's not what you say with your lips, it's what you have in your heart. And there has to be a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the will of the Father today? Matthew 27, or 7. Matthew 7. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, not everyone that saith Lord, or unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what's the will of the Father? Today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? What's the will of the Father in the tribulation? You should believe his words. That part of that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for that Jew, do you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you feeding the Jew? In the tribulation, are you feeding the Jew? Are you clothing him? Are you helping him out, taking care of him? Are you not taking the mark? Do you really believe on Jesus Christ? Are you really trusting in the Lord when you go and take the mark of the beast so you can eat? Is that trusting in Jesus Christ? Let's look in James 2. James 2. The Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith with thy works, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, one doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Live faith always, it always produces something. And that's in any age. Are you really trusting in the Lord? The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And that faith, brother or sister, will produce action. If you don't believe me, let's believe the Bible. That's what we need to believe. Ephesians. Ephesians 1:11. We'll start off in verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth." Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Live faith will produce a trust by you in the Savior. That's a work. That's trusting in somebody else. That's trusting. That's an action. Let me rephrase. That's an action. Faith without works is dead. If you don't trust in Jesus after you have faith, that faith means nothing. Because you have to trust in a Savior. You can't just hear a word. You can't just hear the scriptures. You have to trust. The Bible says, "The gospel of your salvation, after that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "in whom also after that ye believed." Who are you believing? In whom also after that you believed. You're believing in Jesus Christ, a person. So the faith, the gospel, produces an action for you to trust in a Savior for your salvation. Trust in a person. It's a person. God the Son. Same with that Jew. in the New Testament, in the New Testament, in the tribulation, they believe in Jesus Christ. If they're trusting in Jesus Christ, then they'll trust what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us to. Are you going to trust that? That's trusting. Are you going to help this Jew? Really? Do you really trust me? Are you going to help this Jew when he comes to you in need? Are you going to not go the Antichrist way? Do you really trust me? And that's what he's saying. Hey, faith produces some type of action in your life. It always does. Unless it's dead, unless you just hear it, goes in your mind, and it never enters into your heart. Because if it enters into your heart, it's going to produce something. Matthew 7:22. But guess what? The Word of God is working in you. God's getting the glory out of that, not you. That's not your work. That's a product of faith. That's a product of faith that you've trusted. God gets that glory, because without his words, you would have never had anything to trust in. You would have never had a Jesus to trust in, never had a Savior to trust in, if he didn't give his words. So he gets the credit all the way around. And that's the only way he can get it. You can't get it by working your way to heaven. It's got to come by faith. And that faith, if it's truly in your heart, will produce an action to trust. To trust the Lord enough to believe his words and to understand that he's going to follow through with what he's going to do. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And we know that there are false prophets. He just told us. There's false prophets. And in thy name have cast out devils. There's a lot of people out there trying to cast them out. And I'll tell you, they're looking for, hey, I want to show you that I've got the gifts. Really? Show me that you got the Word of God. That's what's important. Getting the Word of God out. Hey, if it falls on hard ground, you got it out. If it falls on stony ground, you got it out. If it falls on ground that'll never bring forth anything, at least you got the Word of God out. You're not just trying to show somebody, hey, look at me, look at me. Because that's all that they're doing. And in thy name done many wonderful works. What's the fruit? What fruit are you producing? Are you warning the people to take care of the Jew in the tribulation? This is not for, this is Jewish in context. That's why I'm always going to this tribulation thing, because this is what Jesus is preparing them for. But there are spiritual things, and we can apply a lot of this stuff to Christians today. Are you warning the people about the coming destruction? Are we warning? But for the Jew, are you warning the people to take care of the Jew? Warning them that when you see the abomination of desolation, you're to run? Not stick around, not go back for anything? Or are you in the Lord's name telling smooth things unto the people, not changing anything? Not changing anything, the evil that they're doing? Not trying to change any of the wickedness in their lives, never turning them from their evil ways. Because the false prophet's not going to turn them. The false prophet's going to speak unto them smooth things, like you hear in all these mega churches around. Smooth things. Hey, we'll have a party here the next couple days, and then we'll gather everybody here and put up words on a screen so nobody has to read their Bible, so nobody can verify that we're telling them the truth. And the devil's like that. The devil's a deceiver. And so this is how he deceives. It's possible for an unsaved person to cast out devils. The verse says it. Look, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If they're casting out devils, help me out here. The devil is a deceiver. If he can say, oh, look at, see, let's see how we can get this guy. I'm going to be a devil in this guy, and you be a devil in this guy, and we're going to meet here on this corner at this particular time while these other people are over here, and we're going to try and deceive them. I'm going to have you cast me out of this guy, and I'm going to leave for a few minutes, maybe a few hours, maybe a few days, but then I'm going to come back. But these people are going to see, you cast me out, I'm going to be rolling around on the ground, barking like a dog, and doing whatever, and we'll deceive this person, and forever, and we'll get him forever. And we'll get this guy to always be wrapped up in this casting out of devils. And that's how he is. That's how he works. And they say to Jesus one time, the Pharisees called Jesus the devil. He says, how can the devil cast out the devil? His kingdom won't stand. No, it won't. But the Lord knows that if he's got a result to that, that his kingdom's not going to stand. The Lord already knows that. But the devil, he doesn't care. He just wants to deceive as many people on this earth as he can. He doesn't care how he does it. He just wants to do it. And that's the way that one infiltrates. It's by deception. You give the impression that you're opposed to the devil, and the devils work together to get this accomplished. Are you being deceived? Have you verified it by the Word of God? Can you see that the unsaved people can do these things? And verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And people will argue in the day of their judgment when they come up and they have to give an account to God Almighty on the white throne. They'll argue with him. This is what this shows. I'll profess that I never knew you. And no matter what dispensation that you want to put the verse of Scripture in, these people, God recognizes that these people did good works. He recognizes it. He says it in before. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Yeah, he recognized that they did that. And in thy name have cast out devils. Yeah, they did it in his name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Yep. He's going to say, yep. You did all these things. But their souls are lost. How is this possible? They were working for the Lord. And so justice shows you that just as your sins can be blotted out and never be able to be seen by God, so can your name. Soak in your name. And it's a name of somebody that doesn't know him. They never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not known of God. And so God doesn't know them. He doesn't know them. And let's look in Luke 16. You're going to see what I'm talking about here. Luke 16. Here's two guys. One of them's Lazarus, and one of them's the rich man. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. But notice, the Holy Spirit recognizes Lazarus' name, but he doesn't recognize the rich man's name. Why? Because the rich man never had the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't know his name. He doesn't know his name. Not only that, but that verse in Matthew 7:23, it shows you that you can do all the right things and not know the Lord. And the Lord says it's iniquity because they're thinking behind what they're doing is that they're good enough to get into heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's iniquity, even if you're doing it in His name. If He's not doing it through you, and you're not trusting in Him, and you don't want anything to do with God, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, then He's not going to know you. He's not going to know you. We'll go ahead and stop there. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for a place to come and meet. And thank you for a copy of your words, Lord, that we can verify everything that's being said. And find out for ourselves like the Bereans, Lord. And we pray now for those that are in need of salvation, those that were mentioned here today. And we pray that you'd somehow get the gospel not only to their ears, Lord, but down in their hearts so that they could trust in you. And we pray for the messages today that you would bless those, Lord, and safe travel. We pray that you give grace to those that are traveling here this morning. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.